That being said, you're going to have to show typically why you need this to protect your trade secrets. Trade secrets often have a finite life, whether because a commercial product is end of life or the technology is moving fast, or your company has a practice of patenting. And that puts a terminal date on a trade secret that gets put in a patent application, because it's either going to terminate if it publishes, or if you've opted not to publish, it'll terminate when the patent issues, hopefully. And then, you know, you've got to show, well, if this is a salesman, we've got to protect our goodwill. And you can't have your salesman going around to all the customers the week after he leaves the job saying, oh, you know, those guys are jerks. I really don't like their business practices. Here's why I switched. Here's why I can do a better job for you. And protecting that goodwill with your customers can be very important. And that's really going to apply with salespeople, people who are public facing, rather than people who are working inside in research projects. Now, in the Texas Business and Commerce Code, we have the specific provision requiring blue penciling. In some states, this, like Texas, is by statute. In other states, it's by case law. But these really require that the judge think through what's in the agreement. And if the judge thinks it's not reasonable, cut it back. And typically, the lower the level employee, the tighter those restrictions are going to get drawn. Again, it's a matter of what's the employee's financial wherewithal. If you're going in to seek an injunction, well, you know, one thing you might do as a compromise is offer to pay a payment to the employee for the time that they're unemployed, if that's what happens. And that'll go a long way to making this work out a lot better for you. Okay, let's compare California and Texas, because we're here in Texas and a lot of people from California are coming to Texas. And they can't come soon enough, because if you're like me and you've been following the legislative session, we need a lot more California voters voting in Texas. So California law, as I said, prohibits non-compete agreements. A non-disclosure agreement cannot be used to substitute for a non-compete where there's not a valid need to protect trade secrets. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. California courts will enforce a trade secret NDA, but the plaintiff employer is going to have the burden to plead and prove the trade secret misappropriation. Because with a trade secret NDA, and here's the critical difference between a trade secret NDA and a covenant not to compete. Covenant not to compete, you've basically got an agreement, sort of like a liquidated damages provision, where you're saying to the court, it's too complicated and difficult for us to show the full scope of the problems we're going to have if this employee leaves. So we've made an agreement with the employee that they're not going to work within these parameters for a finite period of time to protect our trade secrets or our goodwill or our other confidential information. But with an NDA, that applies when the employee goes to the next job. It's going to be assumed that that employee is honoring the non-disclosure agreement, that they're not disclosing your trade secrets to their new employer, they're not using them in your job, in the new job. And that being said, you've got to show either a breach, or as we'll talk about in a bit, a threatened breach, where you believe the employee has actually violated the NDA by disclosing the trade secret or using them in their new job, or it's imminent that they're going to do so. So you've got to prove wrongdoing, or that you're on the lip of wrongdoing. Now, the NDA does something very important for you, though, because trade secret misappropriation generally, in the absence of a contractual agreement, requires improper acquisition. And if you don't have an NDA, then it's very difficult as an employer to show improper acquisition for an employee who has trade secrets that they obtained legitimately during the length of their employment, as part of their job, as part of their project. You wanted them to have the trade secret. They had to have it, so there's no improper acquisition. that makes the contract very important to show that they're under an obligation not to use your trade secret. Now, as we said, non-competes are enforceable in Texas. And the one thing I haven't mentioned is that they have to be supported by consideration. In other words, if you have an employee sign a non-compete as part of a employment agreement, this is how much you're going to get paid, here's your vacation, your benefits, et cetera, that has consideration. But what if you decide that you're going to revise your non-competes because now we've got a new project and this employee is getting promoted? They're getting a new job. They're getting a promotion. Well, now you've got to explicitly tie that non-compete to new consideration. And maybe that new consideration is the promotion. If it's a promotion, it probably has an increase in salary. So it's going to be pretty simple for you to do that. The point is, you've just got to do it. You got to document it. And one of the things people are bad about is failing to document what they're relying on for consideration. We've talked about it being reasonable in time and geographic scope.